what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Sorry it's been a couple weeks since I released an episode. I ended up having several guests last minute, but they had to reschedule, and so I was unable to release an episode today with the previous guest I already had scheduled. But I'm leaving the country, so I won't be posting an episode for 3 weeks after today. Today is going to be a unique episode because we had some of those cancellations. I figured I would just share some Ableton Live tips and tricks and things that I found helpful and that maybe some of you didn't know exists in Ableton Live, or hopefully will spark some creative ideas so you can go make some hot tracks. Before we jump into a bunch of these random Ableton tips and tricks that I hope you find helpful, I wanted to let you know that you may have noticed, if you're listening to the podcast on Spotify, you can leave a reply to new episodes. So if you want to respond to an episode, I'd love to hear what you are thinking out there and what you would like to see more of in future episodes. Fun fact, I'm looking to hire somebody part-time to help out with the podcast with scheduling and booking new guests and new episodes. And this takes up a decent amount of my time. So if any of you out there are an amazing communicator, you have 3 to 4 hours a week to dedicate to supporting and working with this podcast and myself, and you're a rock star at sending emails, you're really organized, and you're familiar with Ableton Live and artists in the music industry, and you might know some awesome guests, then feel free to apply. You can shoot me an email. Just send me an email with your experience and your credentials, and just like a quick summary of why you think you'd be great for this position, and send that email to dan@liveproducersonline.com. Would be super dope to have some help in that department with the podcast, and will help me crank out more episodes, and I would love to meet you. Let's jump into this short episode, and I'll just share some different quick tips and tricks in Ableton Live. Many of you probably already know some of these things. Some of it might be more advanced or newer for you. The first thing, if you didn't know, is if you right-click in Ableton Live on an audio or MIDI clip or a track, you can make notes in the info view at the bottom left of the screen. So this is great for like throwing down ideas for later, you know, or sharing projects and you're collaborating with another artist and you want to leave notes. You can quickly do that specific to a track or a MIDI clip or a device even, and write those notes down in the info view. Fun fact, if you didn't know that, it's a great way just to leave little notes inside of your projects. Speaking of organization in your projects, if you didn't know, if you go to the audio effects folder, you'll notice that with Ableton Live 11, they grouped together different categories of audio effects, which I personally thought was kind of annoying. I wasn't a huge fan of, but if you right click, then you can choose group in folder, just select that box and it'll automatically remove them from all these different groups of folders. And it'll be as it was previously with the list of devices in alphabetical order. If you didn't know, there is something called the drum selector kit in the drums folder. And the cool thing about this is basically for each cell in the drum rack is embedded with a bunch of zones and a sampler. And you can drag and drop all of your snares and play them back with one MIDI note in one cell in the drum rack. And this is just a fast way to build out drum kits and have all of your samples in one drum rack. Ill Gates called this the infinite drum rack. I made like my own version of it. But there is a video by BeatLab on YouTube that you can search by Yuta Benatar, and he shows you exactly how to build your own and customize your drum selector kit so that you can have all of your drums in one drum rack, all of your snares, and then you just turn one macro knob to cycle through all of your snares, all your kicks that you're playing on a single MIDI note. Really fun, fast way to pull out all of your drums in one drum rack and spend less time doom scrolling for the right kick drum. Another fun trick when it comes to warping an audio clip. So say you're trying to lock in the timing of a clip, whether it's a guitar, live recording, or vocals, whatever, and you probably know, if you're familiar with warping, that if you create a warp marker and you drag it left or right on the grid, you'll notice that it pushes off the timing of everything before or behind that warp marker that you're moving, which can be problematic because then you just throw off the entire audio clip out of time. But the cool thing is, if you hold down Command on a Mac, or I believe Alt on a PC, might be Control on a PC, when you double click and create a new warp marker holding that down, it'll automatically save your butt by creating a warp marker behind and ahead of the warp marker you're creating that you're moving. That way, you'll never throw off the timing before or after a warp marker that you are stretching. So, fun fact, just to be safe, in a fast warping hack, just hold down Command, I think control on PC. I don't know. I'm a Mac guy all the way. So just hold down command when you create a warp marker. Check it out. Another fun workflow hack that I discovered on accident, which is really common sense, but I didn't know it was a thing until recently, is if you are sidechaining like I do constantly and a lot of people do, and you've got 3.5 billion tracks in your project and you are trying to find what track you're sidechaining to in the menu of the compressor, right? So if you click the sidechain input on a compressor, you're looking for that track to sidechain to. If you just start typing the first name of the track that you're looking for, it'll automatically just start jumping through the first letters that you're typing through the menu in the sidechain menu. So fast way just to find the track you're trying to sidechain, just start typing, it'll show up. This next thing might not be something you have access to right now unless you're a beta tester, but in Ableton Live 11.3, there is a new synth called Drift coming out, and it is really cool. And you might be wondering, Dan, why do I need more synths? I've already got Serum, I've got tons of plugins, I already have all of Ableton Live 11 suite stock synths. Well, my friend, it's still worth trying Drift. And if you want to learn more details, rather than me trying to explain all of them over the podcast right now, I highly recommend checking out the article with Anthony Thogmartin. He was on the podcast previously. He did a feature on Ableton.com about the new Drift synth, and he goes into great detail, and I feel like he explains it really well. Basically, long story short, it is called Drift because it allows you to pull two oscillators in and out of phase of each other and experiment with them. It's a really simple interface design for the synth, really user-friendly, but you can get some wild sounds out of this thing, and it just sounds great. It sounds amazing. So check it out. Just type in Ableton Drift Synth by Anthony Thogmartin and watch that video. It's like 20 minutes, but really good insight on how to use it and what's coming in Ableton 11.3. Also, check out the show notes in this episode. I'll include a link to this article with Anthony on Ableton.com, as well as other things that I mentioned in the podcast for this episode. Another tip is you might consider turning on oversampling on a few of the Ableton Live devices, such as the Glue Compressor or the EQ8, where oversampling is a possibility. You can just right-click on these devices and enable oversampling. Heads up, it will cause your computer CPU to work a little bit harder, especially if you turn on oversampling for a lot of devices and how much oversampling is happening. And this can be really helpful if you have a lot of high-frequency content, say you're using a lot of distortion on a synth or a cymbal or hi-hats or something where you're just increasing a lot of distortion and saturation, doing a lot of resampling. Oversampling can actually make a really big difference when you export your tracks. It's basically a technique in the world of digital music where a signal is beyond the standard rate for recording and playback. So, for example, CD's standard rate is 44.1 kilohertz, and oversampling increases the sample rate to a higher value, such as 88.2 or 96. It basically will allow for a higher quality playback of your audio in certain instances, and it reduces the bad distortion with noise that can be caused by the digital to analog conversion process. I'm not going to go super deep into oversampling, but I just want to make sure that you are aware this is an option on the EQ8 and Glue Compressor in Ableton Live. And if you want to go deeper than just YouTube oversampling and what it is on YouTube, and I'm sure you'll find a billion videos that talk more about this process, which also helps prevent aliasing, which is a whole nother topic for another day. Another fun thing, if you didn't know, that I've talked about in the podcast a few times is if you wanted to do some quick video editing and cuts using take lanes in Ableton Live. So as many of you know, with Live 11, comping was a new feature that was requested for a long time. And you can create these new take lanes with the track when you record in the loop bracket over and over. But you can drag and drop video files into these take lanes on a track. And then if you use your pencil tool, you can just draw and do quick cuts on the grid to a song, which could be fun for like social media promo, or you have like 7 or 8 clips you just want to chop up to the beat and then you export it. It can be kind of a fun hack for video editing inside of Arrangement View. Another fun hack that hopefully I can explain well and not confuse all of you about is using a Max4Live device called Smooth Automator. It's not free, but I think it's really worth it if you do a lot of experimental sound design and you just want to get some fun, happy accident sounds. As many of you know, with Live 11, With you have your macro controls on racks, right? Well, there's variations. So you can take snapshots of the position of the different macros using variations. And Smooth Automator makes it so as you change variations, you can automate this process. So rather than hitting variation one and all the macro knobs instantly snap to that saved position for that rack, you could jump between variations, and instead of the macro knobs snapping immediately and having like a harsh change, you can have them slowly move over a set period of time using this Smooth Automator device. So you could say, have one sound using an operator in an instrument rack and have a bunch of effects in that rack. And then what you could do is you could assign a bunch of those effects to different macro knobs. You could set the position of those macro knobs, so you've got five or six of them, and then you can save the position of those knobs into like seven or eight presets, and then use Smooth Automator, knowing those seven or eight presets all sound good, and you can just quickly automate a smooth transition between each one of those presets, which can make a really cool, like evolving sound of different types. So check that out, Smooth Automator. It's a Max for Live device. If you have Suite or you already have Max for Live installed with a previous version of Ableton Live, highly recommend it. It's a really cool device and you can get some really cool sounds playing with that and with different racks and macros. These next few tips, I completely stole it once again from BeatLab. Shout out to Sidebrain, aka Yoda Benatar. He was on the podcast way back in the day. I want to say like episode 61 or something like that. You'd have to fact check me. But shout out to Yuta. He had a video not too long ago where he shared 10 return track tricks that you should know. And this is a YouTube video. Just Google or just search 10 return track tricks by Sidebrain. And yeah, definitely watch the video. It's pretty cool. But here's a couple quick ones. Other than just using your traditional delay reverb, doing parallel compression with a compressor on your return tracks and sending tracks to those return tracks. There's a lot of different things you can do. And I've learned and picked up a couple things I'm going to try actually from these ideas. One thing is, first of all, the color limiter is really fun. If you're doing any kind of parallel compression and you're sending stuff to a compressor, the color limiter was released in the Creative Extensions pack back in the day. And that's a fun limiter that's now included in Ableton Live 11. So you should be able to find that in your audio effects folder or download the Creative Extensions pack. It has a saturator in there. It has kind of an old warm sound and you can really slam stuff into it. So another return track trick would be using momentary dub effects. So Yuta talks about throwing snare drums into this or using quick automated hits and just using like automated send knobs just to send to like one-off hits using dub effects. I really love the pack called Dub Machines by Surreal Machines. So check that out if you want some dub delays or like dub reverbs and you want to just send one hits like snares, vocals, shots, other stuff to a return track using one of those dub machine effects in that pack. Highly recommend it. You can get some really cool effects out of that. Another return track trick that Yuta mentions is beat juggling. What this means is you could set a return track with a delay. So put a delay on, say, return track. And then what you would do is you would open up the crossfader view so you can have your crossfader A and B. You would set the return track with the delay on it to B and then have your drum track with your main drums. You could use a drum group if you wanted to or whatever, but send your drum track to set that to A. So you'd have your crossfader A on your drum track. Your B would be your return track with your delay. And then what you could do is beat juggling. You would just basically use the crossfader and record automation real time of you throwing stuff into that return track. And you'd send 100% of the drum loop track to the return. That would just kind of be a fun thing to do. I mean, you'd send 100% of your drum loop drum track to that return track. And then you would just go back and forth and crossfade into it, which could be kind of fun. So also with this, you'd want to set the master send to prefader. So there's an option on the master track you could set to prefader. And that way you're just getting the full dry signal when you're chopping, crossfading into that return track from your drum track. So that's really fun for creating like drum and bass rhythm chops, other things. So yeah, play with that. It's a cool idea. Another thing, if you didn't know, is cross routing. So you can actually send return tracks into other return tracks for added variety of effects. So say you want to send your dub delay into some other special reverb-y delay effect, or you had some kind of distortion effect on a return track, you could send your dub delays into a distortion and get some weird effects and sounds that way. So if you didn't know, have fun routing your return track effects into other return track effects, which you could totally do. You just right click on the send of the return, and then you can just choose enable send if you just right click on it. And yeah, it's super fun. There's a lot of other return track effects ideas, so I encourage you to go check that out in the video rather than me just continuing to try to explain all of them. So yeah, check that out. I will also say that I recently watched a video of the artist Grizz talk about using parallel distortion, and he uses a saturator device preset called Rectifier. So if you just look up saturator, find a Rectifier preset. He puts that on his return tracks and he'll blend some of his basses or different instruments that need aggressive distortion. He'll just blend a little bit into it and it just makes stuff sound fat and thick. So maybe give that a try too. Speaking of other device presets and effects, if you haven't played with Pitch Loop 89, really fun device. You can get some really cool, glitchy, interesting sounds out of this. Put it on a pad or just any sound, really, and just play with it. There's some really good tutorials as well on Pitch Loop 89 on YouTube. But there is a preset that I absolutely love. It's called Drum Glitch A and Drum Glitch B. And if you could put this on a return track, dry wet mix 100%, send stuff to it, you get some really fun drum glitch sounds out of it. Or you could obviously just put it on the insert of a track and just go ham automating it on and off. Really, really fun stuff. And I use that on my latest EP as well for Philia with some of my drum glitches. Another tip, it's probably just common sense for most of you, but I really encourage you, if you have a typical go-to setting for any audio effect or MIDI effect or whatever you're doing, then it might make a lot more sense to save as the default preset. So for example, say you have a default setting for saturator. Well, throw a saturator on track, right click on the top of the device, and then you can choose save as default preset. That way it just saves you time later. Every time you load that device, it's automatically just going to load the parameters that you saved it as, and can save you a lot of time. One example of this is when I use an echo, I always activate the filter. You can open up the filter window arrow at the bottom of the device of echo. And then I always usually pull the high pass filter to like 200, 250 hertz just to clean up the low end of the delays, because I don't want all that low frequency junk to be delaying over and over most of the time, unless I'm doing something special. So yeah, that's one example. Save as default preset, save yourself some time. Recently, I was helping host a user group in Denver, and we had a presenter talking about how he didn't always like using audio for his kick drums because he couldn't easily swap out the audio across the entire project for that clip. And that's not necessarily true. So if you didn't know, you can easily swap out audio samples and arrangement view across an entire track. So all you need to do is right click on the audio clip that you're wanting to swap the sample out with. In the clip view at the bottom of the screen, at the selected audio clip, choose manage sample file. So if you just right click, choose manage sample file. And then on the right side of the screen, you should see a pop-up window. And you can click on the hot swap icon to the left of the sample name. So you'll see the sample name of what you selected on the right there in that menu. And then you can choose from the browser any audio sample and just double click in hot swap mode. Quickly swap out any audio you want for your project's arrangement, and it'll do it across all of the audio clips of that sample that are in the project. So hopefully that's helpful if you didn't know that. Easily swap out audio samples across a track, and yeah. So these are a couple quick things. It's not a very long episode. Hopefully you picked up one or two things. If you'd like to see more episodes like this, you can shoot me an email, dan@liveproducersonline.com. Love to say hey. Or you can, even better, on Spotify, reply to the episode and respond. And just let me know what you think of this episode and if you'd want more stuff like this. So yeah, much love to all of you. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Like I said, I'm traveling out of country. I won't be back until the second week of May, but we will be pumping out some more guest episodes then. And I'm excited with the lineup we have. We got some great artists that I really love, and hopefully we'll help you grow some new Ableton brain cells. Much love, everybody. Until next time, if you don't hate the podcast, I would really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, wherever you're listening. It would help me out a lot. Share it with your friends, your mom, your grandma, whoever else. And I will see you very soon. Have a good one. Later.